Welcome to another episode of Your Guide into Engineering. In episode 2, we dove into the power perspective in engineering and discussed who engineers are. I also mentioned I wanted to speak about human capacity. So today I'm going to explore the human capacity and how science, nature, and engineering all reflect that. Let's start first with what I mean by human capacity. I simply mean the capacity we humans possess, what we are capable of. Let's say I tell a friend I want to fly in the sky like a bird. My friend might call me silly. I can't flap my arms like a bird. I can't simply do that. And it's true. I do not possess the biomechanics of a bird. However, we do have airplanes that allow us to fly. The airplane didn't come into existence out of nowhere. A series of developments led to the modern plane. To understand these developments, I want to pose a question to you. What is heavier, air or water? This question was once asked of me by a professor at community college. One of the best professors I've ever had. The question caught me off guard. I thought, well, okay, when I carry a bucket of water, it sure does feel heavy. I figured water must definitely be heavier than air. I mean, if air were heavier, the pressure of the Earth's atmosphere would have crushed us by now, right? Then the professor asked, when you boil water, what happens? I thought, okay, when I boil water, I see bubbles and eventually steam begins to rise. In other words, water evaporates, the process where liquid water turns into gas, other known as water vapor. Water is made of molecules, consisting of one oxygen and two hydrogen atoms, or H2O. When water evaporates, water molecules are released into the air. Now, air is composed of a mix of gases, mostly molecules made up of oxygen or nitrogen. So thinking about water and air in their gaseous states, the professor's next words made sense. He pointed out that water must be lighter than air. If water vapor evaporates upward, water vapor, quote unquote, floats up. It turns out the molecular weight of water vapor is less than that of air, which makes water vapor less dense and therefore more buoyant. Now, for anyone wondering what buoyant means, let me quickly explain. Buoyancy is the upward force a fluid like water and air, exerts on an object submerged in it. The more buoyant an object is, the more easily the object stays afloat, meaning the fluid is pushing up on the object strongly enough to support the weight of that object. This concept was postulated centuries ago by a Greek man well-versed in science, mathematics, and engineering. You may have heard of him. His name is Archimedes. His idea is known as Archimedes' principle, which, according to NASA, states, the buoyant force on a submerged object is equal to the weight of the fluid that is displaced by that object. Coincidentally, around the time I was learning this, another professor was teaching Engineering 101, Introduction to Engineering, I think that's what it was called. It was a very long time ago, if I'm not mistaken. It was Engineering 101 or one of those classes. I don't know. But anywho, the point is, this engineering professor had quite an unorthodox teaching style. He practically made a history lesson out of every class, and he too was one of the best professors I've ever had. In one of his lessons, he dived into the history of flight. Yes, I did attend a pun with that last sentence. Just like how airplanes dive, he dived into the history of human flight. Oh goodness, I'm so corny. Y'all, please don't judge me. Okay, so anywho, part of the lesson involved lighter than air and heavier than air aircrafts. An example of an aircraft lighter than air is a hot air balloon. The same observation my professor shared, that water vapor rises, applies to how hot air balloons work. Hot air is less dense than cool air. By heating the air inside the balloon becomes buoyant enough to lift off the ground. I bring up what I've just mentioned because the ingenuity behind hot air balloons ties well into what I mean about the human capacity. It's quite astonishing. Someone, somewhere, long ago, must have made the observation, hot air rises. What if we can use that to fly? Observations are key to how we eventually got to airplanes, a heavier than air aircraft. We can make an observation between birds and airplanes. Birds are much denser than water vapor, and yet somehow they still manage to fly. That's due to their specialized anatomy. Birds are designed to fly. Bird wings are like airplane wings. They are both shaped to generate lift and thrust. And this is explained by Bernoulli's principle, which I leave to you as an assignment to look up. Bird wings are also very aerodynamic. An aerodynamic object can move through a fluid, like air and water, with minimal resistance. This resistance is called drag. Airplane wings, like bird wings, are designed to reduce drag, allowing for more efficient flight. Which leads me back to the point that I'm trying to make about human capacity. Yes, we may not have the biomechanics to flap our arms and fly like birds, but we do have the ability to make observations and apply them, allowing us to build machines that fly. We went from an observation made by Archimedes to soaring through the sky. And the sky isn't even the limit at this point. We've gone beyond what birds can do. We've entered the vacuum of space and even walked the moon, all because of our capacity to observe and create. I always think of trees when I think of reaching for the sky. I thought of a while ago, trees and humans have something in common. I remember walking a trail I've taken many times before. There were a couple of crooked trees growing at an angle that always caught my attention. I asked myself, why do trees grow like that? After some research, I found one reason is due to phototropism, a phenomenon where plants grow in ways that maximizes photosynthesis to grow taller. I wonder if trees, in their own way, are trying to reach for the sky just like we are. The capacity nature possesses is no different than ours. I mean, sure, if we were to ask a tree what is 1 + 1, we will expect no response. However, their desire to grow upward is no different than our desire to soar. We are capable of so much, including you. And let me leave you with some words of wisdom. Do not let anyone dictate what you can and can't do, not even yourself. No one, not even you, fully understands or knows what you're truly capable of until you try. Don't let your friend calling you silly keep you from flying. You can do whatever you set your mind to. And yes, I know I sound like a hopeless romantic saying this, but I really truly believe that we can do whatever we seek out to do. Before I wrap this episode up, I want to share more of my own story. The same engineering professor who taught with history also taught me how to program. The way he introduced coding wasn't through app development or software design. The class was a freshman course called Computing Programming for Scientists and Engineers, where I was introduced to something called scientific computing, in which I'll leave to you as an assignment to look up on your own. In this class, for our final project, we had to code something science and or engineering related. So our group chose to simulate fluid flow through a pipe, and we titled the project after the then popular Migos song, Pipe It Up. Yes, you guys, I'm so corny. And get this, we programmed it in Fortran, the grandfather of all programming languages. Around the time, the movie Hidden Figures had just released, and there's a scene where the movie mentions Fortran, and I totally nerded out. I love that film. I definitely recommend it. But anywho, the coding project was very nerve-wracking at first, but at the end, it wasn't that bad. I learned I was capable of learning so much. I learned mathematical concepts like splines and interpolation to physics topics like inertial and viscous forces, all tied into the Reynolds number. I also developed valuable debugging skills that I still use till this day. But most importantly, I realized there's more to programming than just building apps or software. So to begin closing this episode, I want to leave you with another question. Do we really want to use our human capacity to build yet another calorie tracking app or another Sudoku app? Not trying to be cynical, but seriously, there are more pressing problems to solve. And I encourage you, please do not spend your capacity on another app. Soar into the unknown and look into solving our world's most pressing problems.